I'm so excited to be able to start in this series that we're going to do, going below the surface. And so what we're doing this Sunday is just kind of some prep work, okay, if you will. Because I think that most of us want to go deep. But I think sometimes that's where we stop. We just want to go deep. And then we don't actually go, we may go deeper, but we don't go maybe as deep as we want, because maybe for some reason there's a fear or a worry. And so I want us to just take some time, and we're going to take a look at the Word of God about what it can mean for us to go deeper, below the surface, and develop some spiritual maturity. So here's what I'm asking. I'm asking you to just kind of join me for this journey, okay? Two people are going to join me. How about the rest of you? All right. Because we're on this journey together. I don't come to you this morning and say, man, I've got it. I have got it for you, and I know what's going to be done. I'm on this journey with you. And going deeper in your relationship with God isn't about becoming more spiritual or religious. Now that's part, the spirituality part is part of it, but not about being religious. Jesus didn't like religious people, right? Yeah, he despised that. As you'll see in a moment, he called them out, and he called them hypocrites. But I want us to just hear what the Word of God has to say to us about what it means to go deeper. So hang with me. At some point, you may have to lift up your toes in case I step on them. It's not me trying to offend. It's not me trying to do anything but just share the Word of God, share truth, because that's what God is, right? God is love. God is truth. And I think I know this. I know that He loves me enough that He tells me the hard things. And I know that He'll do the same for you. The question is always going to be on the floor, do you want to hear it? That's really the question. And then that's just the beginning. You may want to hear it, but then once you hear it, are you going to receive it? And you may be able to receive it, but then are you going to then obey it? And, you know, so this is like a stair-step process we're going to be walking through. And it doesn't matter where you're at in life. If you walk through the doors this morning and you've never been to this church before, number one, welcome. I'm glad you're here. And this is a great place to start. But maybe you've been in this church forever, right, Dad? And forever. And you've gone along on the journey and have seen the church grow and all the things over the years, how they've developed. And you may say, well, I've been here for 45 years. You know, don't I get grandfather clawed into this? No. Spiritual maturity is something you're responsible for. And it's a personal, intimate thing. And you never reach a destination of, I have arrived. You know, like your GPS says, you are here. In your walk with Christ, you're always on a journey. You'll know when the journey's finished when you stand before Jesus. But until then, what do we need to focus on? And so we're going to, over the number of weeks, talk about going below the surface, which means digging a little deeper. Which means I want to talk about real life stuff, okay? I hope you're not content to just have church and you come and I'll preach John 3:16 to you, which is a great verse and it's very foundational, but we just feel good and then we go home and we'll come back next Sunday so we can feel good again. I want us to be able to feel good 24/7. Now, that's not always possible, but I tell you what, the grace and the love and the health that God wants to give you will walk you and me through those seasons when it becomes dark. Or when we feel like we're unloved, or when we feel like we're rejected, or when we feel like we've been cheated on, or we don't have all the answers. I don't even know if I believe this whole God thing anyway. Just let Him take you on this journey, and let's see where it goes, because I can guarantee you, wherever you get from, if you walk on a journey with God, it'll always be a better place. Amen? He'll always leave you in a better frame of reference and state of mind. Most of us know, I'm going to read to you in a moment Matthew 11. It's kind of like, at least for me right now, the core verse of this going deeper, going below the surface. And then I'm not going to exactly read the scripture, but I'm going to refer to Matthew chapter 23 and 1 Samuel 15. We'll see some scriptures there. So I'm giving you a heads up in case you wanted to look on your Bible, or if you are doing the YouVersion thing, it's an event that's there and you can take notes there. And I want to make sure to welcome people that are watching live stream. I don't know if you knew this, but we have a lot of people live stream that have been watching from all different places, which just blows my mind, you know, how technology does this. But as we journey into this, most every one of us are familiar with the Titanic, right? You know, the story of the Titanic. I'm going to reference it, not that you don't know it, but the Titanic was a ship that was made with great pride. Do you remember how proud they were of that ship? This ship will never sink. And it was made with such great pride and great potential, and it was created as the largest, most lavishing passenger or steamship in the world at the time. But on April 10, 1912, the Titanic began the maiden voyage, setting sail for New York with 2,223 passengers on board. It's a lot of people. Now, a lot of these people on board, you had everything from people that were working the ship to people that were medium, you know, lower class, middle class, all the way up to upper class. All the people, you know, that made lots of money were on this journey, on this voyage. And everything on the upper deck, everything above the sea level, there was partying going on. Now, what kind of parties, I don't know. I mean, I can't trust Hollywood when they make their movies to tell me that's exactly what was going on. But we know, anyone here ever been on a cruise? You ever been on a cruise? When you go on a cruise, you enjoy that cruise, and they tailor your every need, and you can eat everything, and there's drinks all over the place, and it's partying and dancing, or they have movies, or there's just so many things going on above the waterline, right? There's things that are happening on the upper deck, but it's on the lower deck of the Titanic where the damage happened, right? Right? You can preach with me today. It's okay. When they hit that iceberg, they saw the iceberg, they hit the iceberg, they didn't even know how much damage was done below the waterline. They just didn't even want to believe or accept that damage could happen to this ship, so they ignored it. And because they ignored it, water started to come into the ship. They did everything they could. You know, first they ignored it, and then they had to acknowledge, we've got some damage below the waterline. And then they started to address it, but by the time they got to it, it was too late. The ship had taken on so much water that what was going on below the waterline eventually affected what was going on above the waterline. See, you can party all you want, and you can live life and have the funnest things and the neatest toys and the best house and the newest car, but when there's a hole in the bottom of the ship, it's not going to be long before what's going on below the waterline affects what's going on above the waterline. It didn't matter if you made $10, $10,000, or $10 million. When the ship goes down, you go with it. And so what became apparently clear with the Titanic was that there is a problem, and the problem was below the waterline. And if we didn't address that, which they didn't, then the whole ship goes down. I'd like to say that that ship can be reflective in our lives, because we live life above the waterline. That's the, you know, how well we dress and how good we look and doing our makeup and, you know, put the cologne and the perfume on, and we can buy the house and we can rent the car. And we'll go so far as to go so far in debt so we can look good on that 10%. But what everybody else doesn't know is that down here underneath, the 90%, that there's damage and there's pain and there's hurt. Are we okay so far? Okay, you're getting an idea where we're going. And at some point your soul's going to go, I'm not liking this. Just relax, chill out, because everyone's feeling it, okay? Myself included. And you just kind of relax, because here's the thing about the iceberg. Icebergs, you usually see 10%. The larger portion is below, right? That's the way it is with most of them. So it is with ships. Most of the beef, the girth of the ship is going to be above the waterline, and then you've got everything underneath, and you've got a huge ballast that keeps everything buoyant, keeps it balanced, keeps it stable. And if something happens underneath, you can turn the music up on the upper deck, but that doesn't fix the hole that's in your boat. You can put another umbrella in your drink if you want on the upper deck, but if you got a hole in the boat in the bottom, you're still going down. So many of us, I can speak about me. So many times I've lived life pretending not to see what I know is damaged, because it's easier to fake it till I make it, or to just try to keep going, work a little bit harder and ignore it, and maybe it'll just go away. Well, what's the it? It's the 90%. It's the pain maybe that I experience in life. Maybe you've gone through divorce and there's this emotional pain, and you say, I'm over it, I'm doing fine now, but there's still some things that seem to trigger in your heart. There's a reason for that. There's a hole in your boat. And God doesn't bring that up as if to say, hey, let's relive all those emotions and feelings again. That's not the way he rolls. Here's how he rolls. He says, I want to address it so I can heal it, because I don't want your ship to go down. Maybe you've lost a job, and now you just feel like all you can think of is what you don't do right, and I can't do anything right. I do everything wrong, and that's a hole that's in your boat. It's an emotional thing, and there's so many things we're going to hit on, but the ship, the Titanic, the iceberg, you can see all the stuff at the top, but what you don't realize is there's much more going on below here, and so it is in our journey with Jesus, really. I can ask people, you'll notice if I sense something's wrong with somebody, I don't just say, hey, how you doing? And when they say, I'm doing okay, I move on because I don't really want to know. I say, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing okay. Liar, liar, pants on fire. I know it, you know it, Jesus knows it. And I'll say, are you really doing okay? And then, you ever done that to somebody or had somebody do that to you? Somebody comes and says, you doing okay? Yeah, I'm fine. You get the scared deer look in your face because you're trying to convince them and yourself. Then they say, really? And all of a sudden they reach out and they just touch your arm. And they look at you and they say, how are you really doing? Boom, and you go to tears. Why do you do that? Because there's something going on emotionally. And it doesn't mean that you're wrong, evil, sinning. It means that something's maybe broke and needs to be fixed. In my basement, if a water pipe bursts, something's broke. It needs to be fixed. Yes? Okay. Because if you don't do it, your house, your foundation will be ruined. So we need to be willing to let the Lord. I'm not here. I'm not going to call out anything and say I know anything about your lives or your emotional hurt or pain, or because I don't. I just know that in this life, you will have trials and tribulations. And it would be very good for us to learn what it means to become healthy on the inside out, because whatever's on the inside will come out. It will come out. You can lie to yourself all day long on that one and say, not me. I don't care how big, how strong you are, how old you are, how young you are. It will come out. And I fought it for years until finally God didn't do this, but I felt like I had my arm behind my back and it was being twisted till I said uncle. You know what I mean? What that means is not God was forcing me. It means I was wrestling with myself. And my soul was saying, don't take it to Jesus. Don't take it to Jesus. No, we can figure this out. We can work this out. We can make it happen. Until that time when I said, I'm done with that. And I surrendered. See, that's where your worship comes into. And you surrender. And that's where you invite the presence of the Spirit of God. Because we live not by our souls. We live by the Spirit of God. So, let me read this verse to you in Matthew chapter 11. I'm reading it out of the Message translation because that's how I read it. And it said, are you tired? Are you worn out? Burned out on religion? Let me just stop there and ask. Anyone here tired? Worn out? You just feel burnout in life? Here's what Jesus says. He says, come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me, work with me, and watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Isn't that a great phrase right there? Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly. Now, isn't that what we want? To live freely and lightly? Anyone here? Sign-up sheet? You want to live freely and lightly? Put your name here. We'd all put our name on that sign-up sheet. So what do we do? What his word said? Come to him. Get away with him. Here's one of the things that I'm going to kind of just say, and we'll unpackage it later, but we're going to learn about the power of silence, okay? How many of you are good at just being silent? I paused for 10 seconds. That was awkward, wasn't it? Y'all are looking at me like, and? Say something else? Silence is going to be one of the greatest tools that we can have, being silent in the presence of God. Because even when I close my mouth and spend time with God, in my mind, I'm talking. You know what I'm talking about here? Am I the only one? I do this. And I'm like trying to, we talk in the Bible, you hear preachers get up and say, spend time in the presence of God, surrender, be solitude, find your hiding place, your quiet place, your whatever, you know, fill in the gap. And do what? Be silent. Oh, you got to be kidding me. Sit still and do nothing, say nothing. But you see, it's when we just come into his presence. Say, Lord, what do you have to say? I was doing my devotions 4 or 5 days ago, And I did this. I got my devotional book out, and I laid it out there, and it was 2 minutes of silence, hit my timer. Closed my eyes, bowed my head, and immediately started thinking about all the tasks I had to do. My mouth wasn't running, but my mind was. And I was like, and here's what was going on in my head. I'm giving you a little snapshot into my brain, so this might be scary, but I was thinking, just like, I got to get this done, I got to get that done, and it's almost like God didn't even say anything. He just waited. And I'm like, oh, wait, I got to put that all aside and just spend time, be in the presence of God. Oh, but I forgot, I got to do this. And I was like that, squirrel. I was getting distracted by everything. Until finally, at the end of 2 minutes, which felt like 2 hours, I just centered myself. Lord, I just want to be in your presence. And I was quiet. And as soon as I got quiet, I heard 3 words that meant the world to me. I heard Jesus say, I'm proud of you. Do you know how amazing it is? No matter what the word is, when God speaks, how it fills your heart. And I thought about how I wrestled with my own mind, but in that silence. We're going to wrestle with that. But when you come to him, he'll speak life, and it'll change your life. So, sorry, I chased a rabbit there a little bit. We're going to focus in this series, not on the 10% that's going above the waterline, but on the 90%. What's going on underneath? What is causing us to either try to fake it to make it, or what is bringing us to that place where we feel like when people say, how you doing? You doing okay? We feel like we got to say, yeah, things are great, when we know that they aren't. Sometimes that pain, whatever it is, you may be conscious of it. You may have lost a loved one. You may have gone through a separation, a divorce, lost a job. I don't know. You may be conscious of it and you're struggling, but then there's times when it's kind of unconscious. There's pain. There's chaos. You're not even really aware why you're so angry. You just know, I'm angry. See, we've got to take time and look at that, because that's a hole that's in your boat. And if it's not addressed, it will sink the ship. So let me back up just a little bit before we get running into this series too quick. How many of you were here? It's been about a year or two that we did the series called Soul Man. Do you remember that? The Soul Man series? Anyone? Okay. That was hard for me to give an opinion on myself. I thought it was a good series I spoke so good. It was because I learned so much about how powerful our souls are. Now remember, this is who we are and how we've been created. We have a body, a soul, and a spirit. And what we laid out is this. I am a spiritual being, I have a soul, and I live in a body. So when you ask Jesus into your heart, Jesus, come into my heart and forgive me of my sins, bam, 1/3 of you is saved immediately. And I tell people that, and they go, 1/3, that's it? Yes, because he comes in and enters you, the very Spirit of God, right where you see the blue circle. But your soul is made up of, as you can see right there, your mind, your will, and your emotions. And before Jesus ever came into your heart, you've been living life by what you think and how you feel and how you think things should go. And then you ask Jesus to come into your heart, and that's why we experience that wrestling, that tug of war. You know what I'm talking about? When God says go left, but you think you should go right? And the question will always be, who are you going to listen to? So this is who we are. And we learn this, you can put this in your outlines, that our souls are very powerful. Our souls are very powerful. Our soul wants what our soul wants, and it will even do things to try to manipulate things so we can get our way. You know what I'm talking about? And maybe you don't want to raise your hand or shake your head or anything right now, because I wouldn't want to either, but I remember times when I wanted what I wanted, and I would try to manipulate things so I could get it. What we're learning about in this series, or we're going to be learning about, is maturity, about what it means to mature. If you look up mature or maturity in Webster's dictionary, it's going to say this. It's having a complete and natural growth development. It'll say that there's mature fruit. It'll say that having attained a final or desired state, but what we're talking about is spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity is learning to say yes to God and to say no to the world, and then having a desire to become more like Christ. That's spiritual maturity. So write this in your outline. Spiritual maturity isn't measured by how high you jump in praise. It's measured by how straight you walk in obedience. That's what makes all the difference in the world. Because you can come, and I'm encouraging, get involved in worship. If you want to dance a little, you want to jump, that's fine. Just don't like jump pews or anything, okay? But if that's all you do and you say, man, I felt good in worship today and I got the holy goose pimples and everything and whoo, Jesus moved, but then you do nothing else with it, you're living by emotion is what you're doing. Now, I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit didn't show up. I'm not saying that he wasn't present. I'm not saying that you didn't experience him. I'm saying we're going to dig a little bit deeper below the surface. And we're going to learn what it means to hear what God says and then go and obey it. So, Jesus. You remember this guy named Jesus? You guys crack me up, you know that? Is this a trick question? I don't know how to answer this. Jesus confronted some religious leaders in the Bible, if you remember, in the book of Matthew chapter 23. And he said this, because Jesus could not tolerate that religion. And he said, woe to you teachers, woe to you teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. That's some strong language right there. He says, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside it's full of greed and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will be clean. I grabbed my cup this morning. This is my coffee cup, straight from the Waffle House. And I love this cup. And one of the things that annoys me, and maybe this happens to you too, I have a dishwasher in my house. Do you have a dishwasher? Yeah, maybe it's automated. Maybe it's your child. I don't know. But when I put the dish in the dishwasher, I'm completely trusting that the dishwasher is going to do its job. So when I put it in there, and I've invested the soap, and I've ran it through a cycle, and I've waited an hour and a half for this thing to wash, one of the most frustrating things is when I take the cup out to use it, and it's still dirty on the inside. Has that ever happened to you? This is what he's addressing. He uses a metaphor of a cup and a dish, and he says, listen, y'all wipe the outside and act as if it's clean, but there's a lot of dirty stuff on the inside, things that need to be addressed. And they understood this. They understood that when he was talking about the cup, and he said it reveals your heart, because earlier he said in Matthew 15, the things that come out of the mouth are from the heart. And then he listed some things, and he said, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. Those are the things that are on the inside. And when he starts talking about the heart, they knew that in the Hebrew culture, the text, when they would use that word heart, that meant inner self, inner disposition. So Jesus was ultimately not saying, hey, your dishes are dirty. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, you know what? You stand out here and you run your mouth and you tell people how they should live their life, but I know what's on the inside. I know what's underneath the surface, and it's not good. You got some holes in the boat. And he addresses that. So the question this morning is this. If we're going to start a series and we're going to go into this journey, what is it that keeps us, you and me, from looking at life beneath the surface? This is where we're going to kind of start. If we're going to learn what it means to become healthy and in our emotion and in our spiritual walk with Christ, most of us live life, I don't know if this is true for you or not, but I can say it was true for me, ignoring the warning lights that were going off. How many of you have ever driven your car and your dashboard says check engine, and it said that for the last 6 months, and you still haven't checked your engine? You know what I'm talking about? Then you get mad talking about, well, you know, these cars, they don't make them like they used to. It's because they didn't, you know, we didn't pay attention to the warning lights. Sometimes in life we can get in or find ourselves in a season or a scenario where we become a little bit emotionally disturbed in our soul, in our heart, and we avoid maybe certain people because something's being triggered or something like that. Those are warning lights. There's a hole in the boat. God doesn't want to expose it so he can laugh at you. He wants to reveal it so he can heal it. That's his plan, and that's his goal. But many times, we would rather hide it, medicate it, numb it, and not look at it and let God heal it. Here's what Solomon said in the Bible about how important it is in our heart. Let's read that together. Proverbs 4:23, bottom verse. You ready? Go. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. The issues of life spring from your heart, not from your paycheck or your job or your wife or your husband, but from your heart. This is what matters the most. And when Jesus refers to their heart, remember, he's talking about their inner self, their inner self. So when a baby cries or laughs, all the baby's doing is reflecting what's going on with the nature of the baby. You understand? I'm trying to make it sound difficult. When a baby laughs, the baby laughs because the baby thought something was funny, or that was going on in the inside. When the baby cries because something's going on in the inside. And it's just revealing its nature. That's why, babies are always crying. We say that we don't, but is that really true? Maybe we've just found other ways to deal with it. As we grow in life, we start finding different ways to try to save ourselves sometimes. And we got to understand that inner nature, that inner self, sometimes as we grow and mature, will get expressed through feelings. And they can be good feelings and they can be bad feelings. That's why you can experience both love and hate. You can experience both joy and sorrow. So we're naturally a bit conflicted about them. We spend a lot of unconscious energy trying to suppress them sometimes. Sometimes we're trying to deny them, and then at other times we're trying to express them, but don't know how to completely do that. So these emotions are neither, by the way, our enemy nor our Savior. They're something that God has given to us. They're simply a symptom of what's going on the inside. So ultimately, these emotions will not reflect God's rightness. They'll flow from the inside out, but that's where we need the healing. Because whatever's in there will come out, right? Let's say I have the measles, okay? I don't, by the way, and everyone watching. I don't have the measles, but let's say that I do. But I tell you I have the mumps, okay? I'm telling you I have the mumps because I don't want to believe that I have the measles. I can't believe. I don't want to have the measles. So I'm just going to call it something else and try to kind of cover it up, you know what I mean? Let's say I tell the lie so good that I've even convinced myself that I now have the mumps instead of the measles. Yeah, you know what? I really do think I might actually have the mumps. But the reality is when the time comes, what's actually going to be exposed, the measles or the mumps? Well, it's going to be the measles. Because if that's what you have on the inside, that's what's going to be revealed eventually on the outside. And so it is in our walk with Christ. And when we walk through times of learning what it means to become more emotionally mature. Why do I feel the way I feel? Why do I get angry at that? Why do I get mad when they say those specific words or that phrase? Or why do I respond the way that I do? Many times it's because there's something going on below the surface. And we have to let God address that. I'm going to get to your 3 points here in just a minute, okay? Because I want to take you back in the Old Testament for just a minute and talk to you about a man by the name of Saul. The people in the Old Testament, children of Israel, wanted a king. Do you remember that? They said, give me a king. Their soul wanted what their soul wanted, okay? And God said, I don't want to give you a king. I'm your king. And they said, no, we want a king like everyone else. So he said, fine, I'll give you a king, but the king you're going to get, you're eventually not going to want. Because anything short of God isn't going to be the best, right? So Saul, when he was young, he was appointed king. He was picked as a great man with great potential. Remember when Saul was young, we always remember Saul when he screwed up. But at the beginning, Saul was a good man. He was strong. He was tall. He was imposing. That's why he was chosen. He had the anointing of God. God had called him. But Saul eventually became a man who chose not to look below the surface. He was content with the 10% that was going on above the surface. And all of a sudden, we run into some Goliaths in our life. And there's a man by the name of David. Saul would look at the 10%, but not the 90% underneath. David, he saw the 10%, but he was willing to look below the surface. Remember David? David was a man after God's own what? Heart. Okay. David was loved by God. David became king, but David also committed adultery. David also murdered somebody. How can a murdering, adulterous kind of a guy be called that? He let God reveal some things below the surface, and it healed his heart. You and I are no different. Whatever you're going through that's painful, whatever it is that causes you to want to try to suppress it, God has what it takes to bring healing in your life. If there's a hole in your boat, you can pretend all day long that on the 10%, rainbows and unicorns, all day long, everything's fine, everything's grand, everything's fun and dandy. Just turn the music up a little bit more, but it won't be long until the boat's taken on the water, and you start to feel yourself sinking because something else is going on down below the surface. Saul was called to go and to defeat the Amalekites, and I'm going to speed the story up for the sake of time so I can give you your points. But we all know that when Saul went, he said he did all that he was told to do, but he kept the best of the best back. Do you remember that? It says he was supposed to go and destroy all of the Amalekites, anything, everything, all the animals. But it says in 1 Samuel 15:9, Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and the cattle, the fat calves, the lambs, everything that was good. And then he tried to play it off as if it was something that he was doing for some holy religious thing. Well, why did remember Samuel come and confronts him? And he says, why did you not fully obey? And he says, oh, but I did. And he lied. He says, well, if you fully obeyed, then why do I hear a moo here a moo, there a moo, everywhere a moo moo? Well, you got to understand that we wanted to keep the best of the best to sacrifice to your God. I'm doing this for you. He wasn't doing it for anybody but himself. And there was something that began to happen that created and punched a hole in the boat. And all of a sudden, he's in trouble. And he's being called out on this. You know, I can't help but think it sometimes that God maybe calls us out just like he did to Saul. Hey, before we're too hard on Saul, you know, man, I'll never be like Saul, you know. You did everything, then what's this bleating of the sheep that I hear? But how many times has maybe God said, well, you say you love this person, but I hear how you talk about them when they're not in the room. That'd be the same thing. Maybe God said, you say you trust me, but I see how you're not willing to let go of what I'm asking you to let go of. You say you're following what I said, but I hear the hurt and you're not seeking any reconciliation. There's moments where we find ourselves in that same place. And we have to ask, what is it that keeps us from fully trusting God? So let me give that to you, because here's the thing that we need to learn. Whatever's on the inside eventually is going to come out. What cuts us off from taking a look below the surface? If you're like Saul, the reason he did what he did, if you look in verse 24, he eventually says, I have sinned and I did not fully obey because I feared the people. And the same thing's true for you and me. A lot of times, we do what we do because we fear people instead of fearing God. And God says, will you let me take you below the surface? But before we can do that, and we'll go there next week, I want to just give you like 3 points on what keeps us, or I think I put in your outlines, what cuts us off from wanting to look below the surface. We don't mind the 10% that's above, you know, trying to get life all taken care of and make sure everyone looks good, even if it doesn't feel good right now, because eventually we may feel it. But what keeps us from, looking below that waterline? Number one, write this down. When our emotions are controlled by what others think, that keeps us from looking below the surface. You know, Saul, like us, had to live his life out in front of God. But he feared people, I just told you in verse 24, right? So he made a choice to do what he did because he feared people more than he feared God. Sometimes we don't want to look at what the potential holes in the boat may be because we're afraid of what other people will think. What if I look below the waterline and I find out I have an addiction problem? What if I look below the waterline and I find out I have some arrogance? What if I look below the waterline and find out that I have some pride? What will other people think about me? And so we think, I'd rather not go there, and that cuts us off from seeing potential that God wants to reveal in our hearts and our lives. And here's the nasty thing about that. When you cut yourself off because you're afraid of others, God will move eventually. If you're not going to let him work through your life, he's always waiting on you. But he'll move on to the next person. Saul was leading, was unwilling to look below the waterline. So he went to David, who was willing to let God go below the waterline and reveal and heal some things in his heart. And here's what happens when you don't let God meet you there. You start experiencing emotions that you don't want to. You start experiencing anger, hate, worry, jealousy. If you go look at 1 Samuel chapter 18, 19, and 20, what you'll find out is that, let me read a few of the verses to you. 1 Samuel 18, verse 9. This is where Goliath has been defeated, and they come back, and all the ladies are singing. I mean, what guy doesn't like a bunch of ladies singing for him, right? But they're saying, Saul has killed his thousands, and David has killed his 10,000s, and all of a sudden, Saul got angry. It says in verse 9, this made Saul angry, very angry. He took it as a personal insult. And the reason he did was because he was unhealthy below the surface. Chapter 18, verse 29 says, Saul's fear increased, fear of David increased and settled into what? Hate. He started to hate him. Chapter 19, verse 1, Saul calls his son Jonathan together with his servants and ordered them to kill David. Chapter 19, verse 10, suddenly Saul tried to skewer David with a spear, but David ducked. Do you see how this has transformed Saul? He's unwilling to go beneath the surface and get the healing he needs. And all of a sudden, anger, jealousy, hate, fear, worry start to come up. So we need to make sure that don't worry. Don't fear others. Fear God. Not scared or afraid like boogeyman, but like electricity. You respect it, because if you don't, it bites you, right? You ever been shocked by electricity? It hurts. God's not here to bring any hurt. He's here to heal. Here's another reason. Write this down, number two. We don't get below the surface because we avoid our human limits and weaknesses. If we were all honest with ourselves right now, we all have weaknesses. And we all have limits. But the moment we ignore those limits, and the moment we try to do everything in our own strength and not embrace our weaknesses, it cuts us off from the best that God has for us. He said in Psalms 51, verse 17, God delights in a broken and contrite heart, right? Why does he delight in that? Because you're broken? No. But because you're broken, he can now bring his grace and his mercy, and he can heal your heart. You just got to know where your weaknesses are. How are you going to know that? Letting the Lord take you below the surface. Let him reveal some things to you. Number three, write this down. What cuts us off is when we're too busy doing life above the surface to deal with life beneath the surface. If you've ever gotten so busy that you don't have time for God, you'll miss out on his best. See, we live in a culture, we live in a society that says, go, 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 I got to leave. You're probably thinking right now, Pastor, you've got 5 more minutes. Then we got to go eat dinner, and I got to go get the kids, and we got to take showers, and then we're going to do laundry. I've got to go to work. And our minds are already thinking of the things that we got to do. And if we lean into embracing the busyness of this world, and we don't deal with what's beneath the surface, a hole in the boat is a hole in the boat. However big that hole is determines how fast your ship sinks. Would you rather have God maybe heal that hurt, mend that hole that's in the boat, so that we can live life and be free of that? That's our direction that we're going. But how do we do it? I love this verse, Psalms 46:10. Most of us know it. Say it with me. You ready? Go. Be still and know that I am God. You don't even need a outline for that one, do you? Be still and know that I am God. You get to know him when you're still. He reveals himself. Here's what a healthy spiritual life needs. 2 things. It needs time to reflect and connect with God. That's what God wants. Time to reflect and connect with you. What do you mean reflect? I mean sit in his presence and let the Lord speak to you. Sometimes when I'm quiet and my mind is running, it's almost like the Lord says, Jim, just stop talking, because I've got something I want to share. He wants to say something to you as well. I believe there's healing God wants to bring into your hearts and your lives, but it's going to require us to look beneath the waterline. So I pray that God, that you will trust the Lord to lead you into this place as we start this journey. Father, I thank you that you love us so much, that you'll tell us the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And sometimes that truth can be painful, and sometimes it can hurt, but Lord, you never bring anything into our path to destroy us. You bring it into our path to heal us. So Lord, maybe the biggest person we're going to have to get over is ourselves, and I pray that today that you will help us to do that. That if we've made mistakes in the past, if we've sinned, if we've made just such great errors that we feel that we can't be redeemed, will you remind us that you are our Redeemer? And Lord, if we feel like we just are too far from you, Lord, will you remind us again of what we celebrated earlier, communion with you, because you died so that we could live. So Father, I pray that as we leave, you would seal this seed that's been planted in our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.